This morning we talked about the power of God. How great indeed is the awesome power of God. How great thou art. We talked specifically about how that God has the power to save us. He sent his son to pay a price, a debt he did not owe, a debt we could not pay. Because the blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, could not take away sins, or they would have ceased to offer those. But they offered them year by year continually. But verse 9 says that Jesus came, offered himself as a sacrifice once and for all. And so Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But I thought we'd look a little closer at the power of God tonight, because very often the mighty power of God is not recognized fully because God operates through man. In fact, we're told in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 that for it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Again, we read in Matthew 16 and verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word in the signs that followed. Again, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, we then are workers together with him, beseeching you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. And 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. So it's certainly, without question, God uses man to accomplish many of the things that he does. However, we cannot overlook that it is the power of God that sustains us. It is through the power of God that we are able to accomplish. So I thought tonight, perhaps very quickly, we would talk about some of the scriptures that tell us that our God is able. For example, Paul in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So the first thing we see here is that our God is able to make all grace abound. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, it means a great deal, because it means that we have access through grace to God, to the very heart of God. And it is his grace. It is his great mercy. It is his great sacrifice that allows us the power of God in our lives. Just as Paul was remarked in Philippians chapter 3, how that he had suffered the loss of all things and had counted as nothing, as rubbish, that he might know Jesus, and later he says, and to know the power that raised him from the dead. Paul, recognizing that God's grace and mercy and the sacrifice of his son had offered to him an opportunity to, number one, to know Jesus, and to, number two, to know the power, that awesome power that raised Jesus from the dead and defeated man's great enemy, death. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, here's what Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul again points out how that even though this grace is available to us, we cannot take for granted the grace of God, nor should we take the grace of God in vain. Paul said, knowing that I have this grace, I didn't just shut it down and say, oh, I've got my ticket punched, I'm going to heaven. Paul said, I labored all the more abundantly. Knowing that God had given me this grace, I labored even harder. It made me work harder for Him. It made me labor more and more to know that God loved me enough to open up this great river of grace so that I might drink from the waters of life. And then we see in the second place that God is able to do more than we ask or think. Listen to this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages and worlds without end. God is able to do even more than what we ask or think. Sometimes I feel like that we limit our God. One brother said that God can do great things, so why do we ask for little things? Now, God certainly has the right to say yes or no to the prayers that and the things that we beseech Him and ask Him for. But I don't think the problem is there. I think the problem is in asking. Just as James said, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. So I'm asking you, how long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that He'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day is worth living? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you? Prayer is a wonderful thing. We'll talk more about this next week in our friends and family. Prayer is so important in the lives of all of us. And what God's Word wants us to know without a question is that God is able to answer our prayers and to do more than we ask or think. And then here's a good one. I like this one. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, tells us here that for in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to help them that are tempted. Jesus is pictured as our high priest. And the writer here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18 tells us that He was tempted just like we are. And because of that, He's able to help us. Not just because of that, He was always able to help us. But by Him coming to this earth and experiencing some of the same things that we experience, it helps us to know and understand that Jesus has been there and done that, and it ought to draw us closer to God. It ought to grow us closer to a Savior that has known the heartbreak of a friend that would betray him, or who shed tears over a close disciple who would curse and swear, "I never knew him," as Peter so did. Or to know whenever a friend died, even though he had the power and used that power to raise Lazarus from the dead, when he saw how brokenhearted Mary and Martha were over the death of their brother, we read that Jesus wept. And again, we see the tears of Jesus as he looks at those who have rejected the way that he was offering and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And he shed his tears over those that would be lost. He went up on the mountain, you remember, very shortly after his baptism. And there, face to face with Satan himself, went through a fiery trial. And so it says here that he's able to help us when we're tempted. But again, we need to realize that many times Jesus helps us through one another. Are we beginning to see a pattern here? That God is able to make all grace abound, but Paul says, don't use that in vain. Use that grace to strengthen you and motivate you to do more, not less. That God is able to do abundantly more than we ask or think, but we must ask. So we're seeing our part in every one of these passages of Scripture, just as we see here. Just as Paul encourages us in Galatians 6 and verse 2, to bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Or in Romans 15 and verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not just to please ourselves. So indeed, he is able to do those things. He's able to help us when we are tempted. And that ought to give us strength the next time we face a temptation in our lives. To know that Jesus is there, that he does understand temptation, and he can help us. But then we learn again from Jude, this time, verses 24 through 25. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling. God is able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to be to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. How thrilling to know that we don't have to fall. Now, granted, we need to keep in mind, again, here's the human part. God can keep us from falling, but Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, wherefore let him that think he stands take heed lest he fall. So we certainly must realize that we can fall. But we don't have to fall. It is the because of the power of God in our lives. I think that sometimes maybe we as preachers are guilty of maybe trying to counteract some teachings of our the religious world, that a person, once he is saved, he's always saved, he can never fall, that we make it seem like that not only is falling a possibility, but a probability. And if I've ever conveyed that to you, I apologize. Because I want you to know that you can have an assurance in your salvation. That my God does love you and will make up some of the things that we lack in our lives. We are not perfect, never will be. But we can be perfected in the eyes of God. And yes, even though there is sin in our world and in our lives, we don't have to deal with that. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sins if we walk in the light, as He is the light. And so we don't have to go around with this feeling of hopelessness. How can we ever convert someone to Christ if we present to them this feeling of being lost all the time? I appreciate Paul reminding us that I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Paul said, one translation says, guard that. He's able to guard that. And that's such an important thing to know, that my life is guarded and kept and sustained by the power of God. He's not a God that doesn't care. He's not a God that's just way off somewhere and He's just wound this old world up and going to let it tick down and what happens, happens, and He's not involved. If that's your God, you've got a God that has no power. My God, my Father, walks with me day by day. He's there when I stumble to help me up. He's there when I'm burdened to lift me up. He's there when I don't know where to go or what decision to make, to give me light and understanding and wisdom. That's the God that Paul served. And he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he goes on to say in verse 13, wherefore God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may, watch this now, that you may, watch, that you may be able to bear it. God is able so that we're able. And because He's able, He enables us. Oh, I'm so thankful to Paul and the other writers of the New Testament scriptures to reveal to us the power that my God has for us. A couple of more. Here's another good one. Hebrews 11 and verse 19. Here the writer is talking about Abraham. And you remember when Abraham was tested by God, and he was challenged to take his son Isaac, who was the promise of the world to come, that through him all the world would be blessed. And yet God tests Abraham to take his son Isaac and offer him on an altar. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says about the faith of Abraham in the ability of his God, who was able, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also we receive him in a figure. In Romans 4 and verse 21, Abraham trusted in God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. God is able to raise us from the dead because Jesus defeated man's last enemy, death, and greatest enemy, death. We can know that whenever we cross over the Jordan of life, that it's not an end, but a beginning. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so he raises us through baptism to newness of life, in death to newness of eternity. And then lastly tonight, and this one is an awful, awful great passage of scripture to hang your hat on. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. God is able to save us, even to the uttermost. The Apostle Paul said that God is able to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. We don't have a powerless God. We have a God of great power. And no wonder, when Paul bought into this, he bought into it all the way. No wonder he was willing to give up anything, everything, all things, to have that knowledge of Jesus and the power that raised him from the dead. My God is able. He's able to make all grace abound. He's able to do more than we can even ask or think. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to raise us from the dead. And he is able to save us each and every one. But even in that, only to those that obey him. Here we come. Here's man parts again. Only those who obey him. And so I ask and beseech you tonight, have you obeyed God's commandments so that you can have access of the wonderful things that my God is able to do for you? Will you come while together we stand and sing?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.